Breakfast with Benz podcast. Today, Tim Benz with you. Pleased to be joined by a special guest given the anniversary that we're talking about today. It's Glenn Healy, the goaltender for the New York Islanders in 1993. That Islander team beat the Penguins when the Penguins were heavy favorites to win the Stanley Cup for a third consecutive season. After claiming the President's Trophy, a 119-point campaign, the Pens that year were overwhelming favorites to win the Stanley Cup again, but the Islanders had a different thought in mind after beating the Washington Capitals in round one. They upset the Penguins in Game 7 at the Civic Arena, the famous David Volek goal that undermined the Pens' hopes of elevating the franchise into the lexicon of all-time NHL great franchises, along with the Canadiens of the 60s and 70s, the Islanders of the 80s. But this edition of the Islanders upended the Penguins before they could even get to the conference finals against Montreal. The Canadiens ended up winning the Stanley Cup that year against the LA Kings. They dusted the Islanders in five games after the Isles stunningly took out the Penguins. And there are few people who are better storytellers in hockey than Healy, a commentator on a national level in Canada, now the NHL Alumni Association president. He was a great interview for this piece. Glad we had a chance to catch up with him. Here's an Islanders perspective of that stunning upset of the Penguins back in 1993 with a 30th anniversary on Sunday of Pens versus Isles in the 1993 Patrick Division Finals. So, Glenn, how often do you flash back to that 1993 series against the Penguins, and specifically, how often do you think back to Game 7?
Well, I think it was impossible, improbable, for a team that was completely on the rebuild with three rookie defensemen, minus our top scorer in Pierre Turgeon, a whole bunch of young guys trying to cut their teeth into the league to go up against, you know, the team that was an absolute dynasty. I don't know if everyone's in the Hall of Fame, but if they're not, they will be. But it just the cachet of wealth that they had with Mario and Francis and Jagr, and it's just they were an incredible hockey club, and had wiped through basically two seasons of teams and back-to-back Stanley Cups, and here we come in limping into a Game 7 series. So very proud of that group. Because we weren't supposed to accomplish what we did, but we found a way with a great head coach to accomplish what would have seemed like the impossible before the series.
I want to seize on one point you mentioned early in your response there, and that was the absence of Turgeon until Game 7 because of the cheap shot he took from Dale Hunter at the end of the Capitals series before you guys played the Penguins. How much was he missed? How did you compensate for his absence, and what did it mean getting him back for Game 7, even though I don't believe he registered a point?
No, look, he couldn't lift his arm. We dressed him, you know, he was like an ornament on the Christmas tree. He couldn't play, and we knew it, and it was almost like he was our badge of honor that, you know, he was our best player all year. He was our go-to guy. You know, he would be no different than Mario was to the Penguins. Pierre might have been a pawn compared to Mario being the queen, you know, because he's the bigger piece on the chessboard. But, you know, realistically, he was our power play. He was our game breaker. You know, the series against Washington, it was his goal that was the defining one where we said, you know, turn out the lights, the series is over. And so when you take a player like that out of our lineup, a game breaker, it's devastating for our group, devastating. And we were banged up. Pat Flatley played on one leg. We had a player that played in Game 7, Steve Junker. I'd never met him before the game. I really didn't talk to him during the game, and I've never seen him since. And so, you know, and again, like we had a total rebuild and three rookie defensemen, Vasi, Kasparaitis, and Malakoff. You know, and both, well, Kasparaitis could speak many languages, but glad he couldn't and was very shy. And just, you know, the way Al Arbour positioned that series for us, he masterminded like an absolute incredible design for us to win. And, you know, the other part of it, was through the course of the year, we had new ownership, and they wanted to trade David Volek all year. And I can recall standing with Al by the team bus after we had won, and the owners came over, and they were very excited that we'd beat, you know, this the dynasty Pittsburgh Penguins. And Al looked at the owner and said, "What do you think of David f***ing Volek now?"
Well, it's funny. That's the exact name Pittsburghers use to describe him around here. It's funny how that translates. I'm wrong on this, was he kind of thrust into action? Had he been scratched previously in that series? And didn't he come back because Travis Green got hurt, or Flatley, one of the two of them?
He probably went, a calendar month without playing. And even in the playoffs, he had to change the clocks back. He had gone so long without a shift. Like, you know, that just shows, again, like the impossible happening, and he's the go-to guy. And, you know, I think if you ask Pittsburgh, like one of their defensemen stepped on the ice and stepped forward instead of backwards, and that's what sprung the two-on-one. If he had stepped backwards, it's a two-on-two, and there's no foul.
Yeah, Olfie pinched on that one. Yeah, exactly.
And, what have happened? I mean, if you remember that, when we got to overtime, we were up 3-1 with 3 minutes left. Mario and Huey Krupp took a slashing penalty together. And I can remember looking at the clock and going, okay, I'm not very good in math, but Mario's on the bench, on the penalty box for 2 minutes. 3 minus 2 is 1. Holy we've won. This is great. And it was like 30 seconds later, scores! Scores! I was like, oh, we haven't won. And it was everything we could do just to ice the puck. That was like a win for us. Way to go. We iced it. And then we come back and try to win a faceoff. But it was Al basically broke it down to this. He asked Ray Ferraro, Pat Flatley first, before the series, if we could tie one shift against Mario. That's it. Don't win it. Tie it. Of course, Flat said yes. Good. Ray, what about you? Can you tie one shift against Mario? Yes. Went around the room. He goes, great. First period's done. We're in it. And then he did it again. And at one point he said, now all we got to do is win one shift in game 7 in overtime. And that's what we did. I'm like, this guy's a genius, you know? But I think it was very special for Al because he went up against Scotty Bowman.
Right,
an incredible coach. And Scotty had the Montreal Canadiens, and Scotty had the Detroit Red Wings, and Scotty had the Pittsburgh Penguins, and, you know, Al had me.
Well, you were great in Game 7, stopping 42 of 45 shots, and there was a moment where Ron Francis, who was excellent at the end of the third period, scored one of the goals to come back. Set up a screen. Yeah, he might. Yeah. Did he have a double tip on that Murphy shot before Tockett got it? Did he touch it first?
Yeah. It was. I was blaming everyone for that one. I'm surprised if you were in the building, I was blaming you. No, I just. But that's how it goes, right? We thought we had it in the bag, and you know, we didn't stand down all game, and then honestly, my whole thought process was 3 minus 2 as we won, and boy. Don't do that with Hall of Famers. Do not do that. And the pride of Pittsburgh, they couldn't have played a better game. You know, they were excellent in every area. Just we got the bounces that we needed to get and saves at the right time. And, you know, some great plays by great players and blocking shots and sacrificing and playing hurt and all the things that make you really proud of teammates and a team. And that's why when you ask me if I'd reminisce about it or we cajole about it as a group. Our group is really proud of what we did there. Like that's an upset that you never would have predicted. Like if they had the sports betting back then, you would have made a fortune. But our group found a way, and we accomplished something that not many teams have done, which is upset. You know, it's David versus Goliath almost in some ways, you know.
Well, we're speaking in the very near aftermath of Boston losing to Florida. They were the best regular season team in the history of hockey. Similar circumstances, although I think the Penguins were a better team. But I think if you look at that result, that Tampa result against Columbus a few years ago, those are bigger in the sense that they were a one seed being knocked off in the first round. But in the Patrick Division Finals, as things were set up, I don't think it really matters so much based on what the seedings were by comp. I think it goes to what you said, Glenn, in the outset here. It's that you just look at the Hall of Fame roster and what the Penguins had done to win 17 in a row and coming off of two back-to-back cup championships. You knew that they were great in this regular season, and you got the feeling after the first two cup wins that this might be the best addition of the team, and you guys still derailed them in seven.
Well, you got to remember, there's not none of those fake points. There's no shootout. Oh, we get a point. We lost, but we get a point.
Mm-hmm.
They won 17 straight by winning 17 straight. Like, there's no shootouts. There's no gimmick. There's no, you know, playing a game of whack-a-mole and see if you get a point for it. Like, no. So, you know, that was truly, like, an incredible hockey club. And, you know, they took down New Jersey in the first round like they were just in the way. And if you think about New Jersey, they became a dynasty post that. I mean, when I was with the Rangers the next year, it took us till double overtime in game seven to beat them. And we were a darn good team. We had 36 Stanley Cups in our locker room, maybe. So, and the Devils went on to be multiple championship teams. So even when they dusted them off in the first round, it wasn't, you know, the New Jersey Devils that Gretzky ridiculed. This was a really good team. And so, you know, Pittsburgh was built. Martin Straka played on their fourth line.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. he would go on to be an all-star.
He would have been on our first line, you know. but we got contributions from absolutely everybody.
Oh, you sure did. And you know what? Like, I watch Penguins-Islanders games now even, and the Islanders just addition to addition, no matter how good or bad they are, no matter how good or bad the Penguins are, there are just these guys that constantly kill the Penguins from the Islanders. Now it's Bailey and Anders Lee and Brock Nelson. And then as I'm looking back through the roster, even though Turgeon was out, and I remember he used to hurt the Penguins too, Ferraro and Steve Thomas used to kill the Penguins, and Benoit Hogue used to give them problems all the time. There was just, and Kasparaitis agitated the hell out of the Penguins every game until they got him.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, Kasparaitis played a big role. You know, he did agitate Mario in a huge way, and then when they did get back at him, I thought, ooh, this guy can't fight. Oh boy, okay. But that's, you know, when you have, like, leadership like Al, and he had you believing, and, like, you know, honestly, when we went in for Game 7 to play the Penguins, the team flew out of two different airports. We didn't have a flight.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
so half the team flew out of MacArthur, half flew out of LaGuardia, and we met in Pittsburgh, and, you know, okay, did they have confidence we were going to seven? I guess not. Didn't have a flight booked. Anyways, and that was, you know, before charters, you know. And then when we did win, you know, we stopped at this little place called the Ruddy Duck. We didn't have any beer or anything post-game. And we said, Al, can we stop and get some beer? And he said, oh, yeah, for sure. Two cases, no more than two. No problem, Al. And Pat Flatley and I went into the Ruddy Duck, and we ordered seven cases, and put five in through the back window, emergency exit, and Flats and I walked on the bus like two little altar boys, one case each, there we go, two cases, Al, and Al looked at me and he said, I saw the five go in the back window. So you wonder why, I mean, Al, his nickname is Radar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, there's a reason right there. Like, he didn't miss anything. Absolutely anything. So,
how about the save you made against Ron Francis in overtime at Game 7? We might not be talking about David Volek right now if you don't make that save.
Yeah, you know what? It's like, you know, there's those moments when everything just kind of comes together. Mm-hmm. And you don't know why. That was one of those games. I mean, I don't think I've had one since. or before. I think I had one in college that was similar. And that's where, like, Rogie Vachon was there to watch Gary Galley and Dave Ellett play for Bowling Green. And we had played us in the CCHA championship. And I had another one of those nights that was like, and Rogie said, well, who the f*** is that? Starring Dutch guy. So I mean, but I never had one like that until we had game seven. And just everything, you know what, it was survival. I looked at the clock, and basically what I said was, just get through 5 minutes. Just get through 7 minutes. Just get through 10. And then I looked, and I was like, all right, first period, I think they outshot us like 20-something to, like, nothing. And we just got through. And I was like, okay, now let's start the next 20. And the only time I let my guard down was when I was stupid with those 3 minutes left. And thinking, well, Mario's done, so that's great. It's a little too soon, Mr. Healy, too soon.
Well, Ferraro had a great quote afterwards. He said, the arena was so quiet that I could hear heels skating down from the other end screaming. I'll never forget the shocked look on the Penguins' faces, not the jubilation on ours. Is that how you remember it too?
Well, yeah, you know, and we all had nicknames too, right? Like Ray Ferraro's nickname was the Seagull.
Okay.
If he wasn't squawking, he was and they decided to call me Barney because my face was so purple from maybe I wasn't the best conditioned guy. But yeah, no, that was, that's how we got along. Though. Everybody got along. And like, if you recall, like the dressing room in Pittsburgh, remember how they used to have the two sides?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you would have the team in the one side and then the goalies would sit on the other side. We worked that way. We were like, nope, everyone's in the same room, everybody. And so, but that was the way we were as a team. And then, you know what, when the season ended, there was a bunch of us went to Ireland on vacation together, right? We couldn't get enough of each other. So we just kept it going. So, but yeah, just a tremendous group of people and so much pride for what we accomplished when we shouldn't have accomplished it.
How often do you talk to Volek?
You know what? Not often, because he's on the other side of the pond now. So Volek was funny, right? David was with his first game. I don't know if this even matters for this story, but just Billy Smith used to be one of those guys. You took the last 5 minutes of warm up. That's it. Okay. And you couldn't raise the puck above his knees or shoot it hard.
Okay.
Just flip it at him. And then that was Smitty. Okay. Anyway, David Volek's first game in the NHL. Here we go. He's in warm up. You know, how's my hair look? Everything's looking good. Looking at the crowd. This is fantastic. He comes in on Smitty and just absolutely rifles one high by his glove. So David, you know, he's in the corner again, looking at the crowd. This is great. Wow, I'm in the NHL. Smitty comes over and absolutely two hands him on the back of the legs and knocks him down. Don't ever shoot the puck high on me again. Welcome to the NHL.
Welcome to the NHL. Yeah, right, exactly.
Welcome to the NHL. Yeah, good times.
All right, so my thanks to Glenn Healy. Strongly recommend you read the article that we posted about Game 7 at Trib Live on Sunday morning. Also, if you missed the piece that we put up on Friday, specifically about the Kevin Stephens injury that occurred in that game, a very compelling human interest angle to that event, definitely worth your time to read as well. We're back on Monday, Mad Monday, coming up. As Mark returns from Vegas, I was in for Mark all last week. We talked about the 93 final as well in the Patrick division. And Larry Murphy was our guest along the way. We've got that podcast up as well here at Trib Live.